Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. I was going to say this morning when I came, there was a lot of emails flying around. One of them was, who's going to do the announcements? Who's going to do this? So quickly texted, Devin, can you? Jeff, Eric. So we have a great, and it's the whole congregation. There's so many people who do so many things here. I'm humbled, and we have an awesome group of folks here. We do a lot of things, and a lot of people are involved, which is great. I think that's a very healthy place to be. So give me a second while I turn on all my technology here and make sure everything's running here. And okay, I think I'm sort of there. So I want to start out this morning. I usually do this because some of you may or may not know me, but it gives me a little bit of chance to talk about our background a little bit. Of course, family. My wife and daughter are here this morning. You probably know Mary. She's our treasurer. And Molly's my youngest daughter. She's in the back there with Mary today. So thanks for coming, Molly. Also have two other daughters, Emily and Liz. And a son-in-law to be in November, Nick, whose wedding's going to happen in November. So, and we have several dogs, Rainier and Doug. Rainier lives with us, and as well as Liz. And Doug comes over. He's Emily's dog, and they do crazy things, and I run around with them. Career, some of you are former military. I was retired from the Air Force, Air National Guard Reserve, worked with Bobby for 28 years. And after that, I started down a road that leads to some of the things that we'll discuss today. Currently a flight test engineer with the government working on the AWACS program. If you don't know what AWACS is, it's the lower right-hand corner there, the thing with the big frisbee on. If you drove by a Boeing field in the past, you might have seen some of those. They don't have any there yet, but we hope in a year we'll have our aircraft there and we'll be doing some flight testing. We're doing preliminary stuff right now, actually modifying the aircraft. In terms of ministry, Mary and I have done youth ministry starting with Young Life about 33 years ago. And on the worship team up here, and as Jeff mentioned, part of the elder team here, just really appreciate our leadership too. As Jeff has mentioned, we have just outstanding, not only our leaders, but so many of you who are part of the ministry here. And I like to play. If those of you who know, do soccer several times a week, climb mountains when my wife allows me to, hike, mountain bike, private pilot. I haven't flown in a while, like to ski in the winter. So I have a lot of things that might be in common with you. With doing stuff. So that's a little bit about me. Today, I'm going to talk about, I know this sounds sort of funny, a biblical truth and flight test. So you might think, well, how does that relate? When I started thinking about this, there were two things. Number one, I wanted to talk a little bit more about what Heath was talking about last week. So we're going through Proverbs, we're talking about wisdom. And when you think about wisdom, I don't think you can really separate truth from that, right? If wisdom is, as Heath, and I'm trying to get that, make sure I quote this right, the way God wants us to think about things, his perspective on it, that, we can't know everything that God knows, but the perspective that we have to have when we want to have wisdom. And it has to be based on the truth, because the truth is in wisdom. I don't know how you can separate those two. So he mentioned a couple of things last week that modern philosophies that question the whole idea of truth and how we get that. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. Jesus shared a lot of parables that related to the people of the time. Most of those were agricultural things because the people were agricultural. So a lot of those are lost on us today. Maybe flight test isn't one of those, but some of you have probably... How many people have flown on aircraft? Just show of hands here. Most people know a little bit about airplanes and... Okay. I never thought I'd get into this. I confessed to Jim this morning, I'm actually trained as a landscape architect, and I don't know how I got into this, but God has a sense of humor. So anyhow, so I hope that doesn't scare you away from flying. So one of the, they're military aircraft. Yeah. So this morning I thought, as I was looking through, when you look up truth, wow, there's a lot of things, a lot of the books of the Bible talk about truth. But I thought this one would capture some of the ideas that we're going to talk about this morning the best. And it comes from Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. Look and take note. Search for her squares to see if you can find a man, one who does justice and seeks truth, that I may pardon her. Though they say, as the Lord lives, yet they swear falsely. O Lord, do you not your eyes look for truth? You have struck them down, but they felt no anguish. You have consumed them, but they refused to take correction. They have made their lives faces harder than rock. They have refused to repent. So, a little bit of background here. We'll talk about a little bit more in detail in a second, but this is right before the siege of Jerusalem, where it was horrible. Won't go into all the details. If you know about that, you know that this was not a good time for the residents of Jerusalem, the people of Israel. And Jeremiah was basically brought along to tell them that this was coming, and an opportunity to repent, as it says here, that I may pardon her, to forgive. But yet, what do the people do? They just keep on going on with what they're doing. And some of the things that they were doing, might as well go to the next one here, because it talks about this a little bit. Again, Jeremiah was pointed... Oh, sorry, I've got to do both. wrong direction, right there. Okay, so Jeremiah was pointed to reveal sin and the coming consequences. So he is basically telling the Israelites from 626 B.C. until the time we see on here, the prophecy of Jerusalem's destruction was actually brought to fruition about, what did I say there, 589. So there's quite a few years in between there, right? If those are accurate, and Wikipedia is accurate, believe it, those are accurate times. So there was a lot of things that Jeremiah was doing, and he started as a young man, and he started preaching that, you know, yet the people of Jerusalem, the Israelites, had gone the wrong direction. Some of the things that they were doing there, if you look down on the third bullet there, is that they were false gods, Baal, Moloch, and some of the things that are associated with these false gods. I won't go into that because it's really it's unbelievably, incredibly cruel and inhumane what they were doing back then. But sacrificing their children to a false god. And even though Josiah came along towards the end, they were still, after he did all the reforms, Israel still went right back to that when Josiah's reign was done. So the Israelites were going off, and God intervened, and he sent Nebuchadnezzar from the Babylonian Empire against Jerusalem, and then the siege happened for about 2.5 to 3 years and ended up in starvation in the city and horrible things happening. So there are consequences. All that to say that, sorry, there are consequences for sin. So if we look at what was going on here a little bit, this came from this a little bit different translation here from the NIV, but it gives you a slightly different view. If you can find but one person who deals honestly and seeks the truth, I will forgive, or as it said in the ESV, pardon this city. So what does this sound like? Said, I've heard that before. Where was that? Oh, it's when we were talking about Genesis, Sodom and Gomorrah, where Abraham is pleading with God. If you find but 50 people in the city, will you spare the city? And then he goes through negotiations with God, so to speak, gets down to 10 people, and still there are not 10 in the city to be found. So this is very similar to what we find in Genesis 18. So God was willing to forgive, but no one was interested, just like in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's like no one righteous, no one desiring, who seeks after God, deals honestly. No one there. So society was based on dishonesty, lies, and they had exchanged the truth of God for idols at the cost of their children, their freedom, eventually, in Babylonian exile, the things that they went through, all because they didn't want to listen. All because they didn't seek the truth and want to know the true God, who wanted to pardon them and forgive them. So it says in the end of our verse today that you crush them, but they refuse correction and refuse to repent. So instead of all of this bringing about repentance, they still persisted in going the way they desired to go. Doesn't make sense to me, but it's because we have the Lord and we've found that and we see that. But we have a choice. We can seek the Lord, we can search for the Lord and seek for the truth, or we can go our own way. And some of the things that we're faced with today in society, you know, I look at the young people who are growing up today, and there's a lot of things that you guys have to deal with. I mean, the philosophies that are coming up today and the things that are, I mean, let me say it this way. If a postmodernist designs an airplane, don't get on it. I mean, you can't just make up like, oh yeah, I think it should fly like this. No, it doesn't work like that. So that's sort of the idea that that I want to share with you a little bit this morning. So what does that mean then? How is this you know, parable kind of thing with flight tests, like going a little bit there? So why is this important? Well, number one, I believe that God places us into situations in our lives that help us to understand His Word and understand how to live. And one of the things that first came up when I first started doing this, and you know, I was testing software at the very beginning, and then I got into testing other things. But one of the things that I realized is that, you know, sometimes we wonder, why does God test us? Why do we go through the things that we're going through? And I think there are two reasons why. Number one, He knows already how we're going to respond. But how do we know? How do we know if we're on track or off track? And that gives us that feedback too. When I go through testing things, we know at the end what the errors are and how to correct those. If we don't do that, we don't know. And if we don't know and we go fly an airplane, we don't know what's going on, it can lead to some disasters, and probably know a few of the examples of that recently, but you know, things like that that you don't consider. That's why we test. And that God tests us so that we know where we are at, what the good things we're doing, the bad things, when we're on track and off track. So that's really what I want to talk about today. And to say that, you know, when you talk about truth, it's not just a, you know, concept, just a, you know, ecclesiastical, you know, biblical kind of thing, but it applies to everything. You know, God, the same God who gave us the scripture, wrote all the laws into existence at the beginning of time. All the physical laws, all the things that science says, okay, this is how this works. But as you can see my third bullet down there, science, a flight test in this case, doesn't define truth, but reveals the truth. I think I stole that from somebody, but I don't know that for sure. So if the honest and unbiased principles are applied. So when we talk about people that, well, I don't believe because science. I said, really? Which scientific law is telling you this? Because I don't know of any. In fact, it's just the opposite. The more I learn, the more that I see, the more I'm convinced that truth applies to everything that we do. And I would be at a loss if I, you know, I think I got, the training that I got was mostly for what I, the best training I got is to learn how to read and interpret truth from the Bible. So that's why I'm doing this today a little bit. It applies to everything. So our faith is based on the truth, on the knowledge of the Lord, and everything else in life is based on that as well. Aircraft design has to be based on knowledge and truth as well. So let's go into a couple other scriptures that talk a little bit about this. So we sang a lot of songs that had truth in them today, and some of them reflected this verse here, John 14:6. Thomas said to him, Lord, I don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So as I said just previously, Jesus defines everything. The truth, the creator of the world, designed everything. Amen. Everything. So truth is not just limited to what we talk about here. Oh, biblical truth, that's different. You know, we separate, oh, that's religion, and this is, you know, and the rest of the world operates differently. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Same person who designed us and who gave us the scriptures designed all the laws in the universe. And he designed a way for us to live in the right way, and there's a wrong way. So, again, that's what we're going to explore a little bit further as we go deeper. Next verse I want to talk about. This was, I think, Actually, someone quoted this. I think it might have been in our Bible study on Saturday or Heath last week. I don't remember from what. But I wanted to include it today because it has a number of things that really bring out why we want to have the truth in our life. And it's from 2 Peter 3, 14 through 18. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found without by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away by the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So, what can we learn from these verses? Number one, diligence. It takes hard work to keep on track with Jesus. And a lot of these things aren't necessarily self-evident. We don't get them naturally. You know, we have to dig a little bit to look at it. So when you look at the truth, and in my job, same thing. If I look at it on the surface level, you know, sometimes it looks okay until you start digging. It's, oh, that doesn't work at all. You know, so you really have to know what you're looking at and know a little bit more. I appreciate my brothers that come up here, Heath and Eric and Jeff, and talk about things that, you know, Eric talks about the original Greek language and some of the historical background and things that I love that we share that because that's context. We need to understand these things because that's how we understand why it was written and a little bit more than just going reading it and then trying to apply it in circumstances that we don't really quite understand. So what happens when we don't look for the truth, when we take it out of context? Well, there are those who would twist the scriptures to their own destruction. I like to listen in the mornings. I listen to some of the apologists. I like to do that just to hear some of the things that people say, some of their objections to the gospel when it's shared. Because I've heard some, and there's some really interesting ones out there. But some people will take scripture and twist it around and go, well, that's out of context, of course. How do we know that, though? We have to study, we have to look for it, and we have to look for deeper than just the surface to be able to really, truly understand that. So, growing in grace and knowledge requires knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus, and it's key to knowing the truth. The truth about everything, not just in here at church, but everything that we do. The next scripture is a short one, and this comes from Jesus. If you remember the context of John 7:24, I didn't put all of it in here today, but Jesus is healed on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to him and said, how can you heal on the Sabbath? You're supposed to be resting on the Sabbath. Can't do that. And this was the end of what Jesus said to them. Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. What does that mean? Again, some of the things that we feel and see aren't necessarily true, right? When we look at something, our initial impression, we talk about first impressions with people. How many people have made mistakes on their first impression? I have a lot. You look at someone and you're judging. That is what the kind of judgment that Jesus is talking about in Scripture that we're not supposed to do. But we all will make judgments about all things. And that's not what the other scripture is talking about when we talk about judging people. We all will make judgments about what is right and wrong. But how do we base those judgments? What do we base them on? By what we feel? By what we think? By our first impression? By our opinion? You know, that's not how you determine truth. So knowing the truth requires going beyond first impressions, going beyond our feelings, and really getting into the truth and finding the right standard to base that truth. I've got an example later on I'm going to share about feelings and how in aviation you definitely don't want to trust your feelings. The next scripture from 2 Timothy 2:14-16. All right. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. I believe, this is a verse that Awanus is based on, right? Okay, yeah, Awanus people. Thank you. So, what can we learn about this? Number one, that quarreling and irreverent works against the word of truth. When we start to quarrel from our own opinions and our own ideas, and we just argue with people, well, I think, you know, okay. That's not the way to come up with the truth. We all have opinions and natural tendencies towards things. But what we need to do is find the right source. So rightly handling the word of truth means exactly that. We need to know the whole scripture and know what it says. Part of one of the things when I first became a believer, I didn't know a lot of the language and things. So I believe this is part of rightly dividing scripture, and correct me if I'm wrong, scholars, hermeneutics, is that correct term? Where we really look at the how we get through scriptures, looking at the context, looking at the meaning, the structure of how we do that. I thought at first it was like a German theologian or pastor, hermeneutics, I don't know. Anyhow, so knowing that and knowing how to rightly handle and divide the word of God means that we need to know the truth, so we need to study it. And we have to be led by the Holy Spirit to have that revealed. So we have to have a real relationship with Christ. So all these things are really important. But we can get way off, as it says there, irreverent babble, because it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. What happens when we get off track and we start, you know, just arguing from the standpoint of what we feel or our emotions or our tendencies to support one thing or another, or look at a person, I don't like that person, therefore I don't like anything they stand for. Well, wait a minute, time out. You know, there are a lot of people, not a lot of people, but there's some people that you just don't know how they, you know, they present something wrong or whatever. That's not the truth, though. We need to look for the truth, and we need to look beyond just the surface to find that. So, I promised to talk about some practical applications getting towards the end here. And how does flight test work into all this? So, some parables here. Hopefully I won't lose you on some of this, because some of it is, you know, what I do for a living. So it makes sense to me, and learned all the... there seems to be like a language in almost everything we do today, acronyms and whatever. So, but one of the main things that we do when we test aircraft is you always have a truth source. Whether you're testing an aircraft system or a radar or whatever, you have things that are happening, and you know, you get the result on the other end. For example, the pilots, you know, they fly the aircraft by the airspeed, and if the airspeed is off, airplanes fall out of the sky, or if you fly in too fast, you fly off the end of the runway. So flying at the right speed and knowing how that connects to all the physical characteristics is really important. So you have to measure it with the right tools. So when we do that, and we start and we reveal those standards, then we know when we compare to a known standard, we know when we're off. And biblical truth reveals those errors in our thinking. When we know when we're off and when we're on, as I mentioned before, it tells us when we're on track, when we're off track, because we have a standard that comes from God, from the Creator, from the one who designed us, right? So I know some of you have been in the military. Devin's aircraft maintenance, so tech orders, right, Devin? you can't do anything unless the TO says to do it, right? It's built by the guys that made the aircraft, and that's how it's supposed to function. So you do everything by that, you maintain the aircraft, and that's how we stay safe and fly right, okay? So not only for the military, but also for the guys that work in the aircraft up here that we fly in, the commercial aircraft. Okay, second one, I talked a little bit about what feelings in airplanes is not good. So flight testing and flying in general is never done by seat of the pants feelings. So a lot of books try to make it what would I say? Flying by the seat of the pants, a romantic era of flying. Well, that's the best way to get yourself into real trouble. A while back, I not only flew in military aircraft, but I got my pilot's license, so I did a bit of flying. And in pilot training, once you learn the basic stuff, the next part you get into is they put you in the airplane, they put this hood or glasses over the top, so all you can see is the instruments. And then they make you fly by the instruments. And the reason they do that is, literally, I had this happen to me once, within seconds of going into a cloud or losing the horizon, you will start to drift. Seconds. And it's amazing. The first time it happens to you, you're like, wow, they're right. You know? So trusting your feelings, there's so many things that can happen when we trust our feelings in airplanes that are really bad. So, I mean, the commercial pilots that we fly with obviously are very highly trained to follow those instruments, and the guys that maintain them also maintain them against very rigid standards. And if they didn't, we'd have disasters. So, one of the things that really challenges us today are people and their feelings. You know, we reject truth sometimes because we have a feeling, or we know somebody who is doing something that is in contrast to Scripture. That doesn't change the truth, does it? I mean, yes, we can be compassionate for those people, but we can't change the truth about what it means. We can't change the standard of what God calls sin and what he calls right living. We can't do that. It's not up to us. We're not the authorities on it. Only God is. He makes those standards. It's not that we reject people because of that. And the very last quotes, I think, will have some, I think, a good way of working all this in, but I'm getting to that. So, biblical truth is never defined by feelings, and we need to calibrate our thinking just like in the aviation industry, we calibrate all our tools, and the pilots calibrate how they fly to the instruments. We need to calibrate our thinking by the truth of God's Word.
Amen.
Thanks, Eric. Next. Okay, getting towards the end here. Practical applications. Flight testing reveals the truth in how a system does or does not work. So we need to make corrections often, you know. And one of my earliest experiences, I was working in software, and they would have little changes that they make. So the software folks would go change it, and then they'd throw it out to us, and we'd, you know, test it, you know, have our little test thing. And there was one thing I thought would be easy, and the poor developer was having a really hard time. Every time she gave me a new... Yeah, I would go and test it, go, oh yeah, that worked. You fixed this. Oh, wait a minute. No, this is broken. You know, send it back. You know, going back and forth, and it started to feel really bad after a while. But the point is, you want it to work in the field. And if you don't test it, it's not going to work. And we were finding those things. It's like, oh, we fixed one thing, we broke another. You know, oops, you know, sometimes that happens. But we need to do that, make those corrections in our life based on what the Scripture tells us. So it's our foundation, and when we read it and know it and apply it, then we can make those corrections in life. Because obviously, none of us are perfect, you know, starting with me, and we need to have those corrections to make sure we're on track. Flight testing also allows for just recognizing those, and sort of what we said before, but it gives us a chance to correct them. How do we know what's wrong unless we test it? Unless we go in and look at it from the standpoint of the standards. So biblical truth helps us keep us out of trouble by revealing lies that cause disasters, like we read about in Jeremiah. You know, if we were living in that time, would you want to be in a city that went through that? You're starving to death because you ignored a prophet who was trying to tell you for years that you were going the wrong direction, and at the cost that you're doing all these things, sacrificing your children, and the God of the universe is saying, stop, no, I'm ready to forgive you, but no, we're going to be stubborn, we're going to go that direction. How do we keep from doing that? How do we keep from doing that? Well, I promised an example, and we're getting towards the end here, so... by the way, that's the airplane we're currently testing. That's the Japan AWACS, and that's our flight crew. And we went over, and it's now in San Antonio, but we went over to Japan, brought it back, tested it to see if all the systems were working prior to modification. Now we're modifying that, and I get to hopefully fly it if I stick around long enough here. So anyhow, one of the things that happened early on in our program is I mentioned when pilots fly aircraft, they have these tables. And it used to be an old aircraft, you'd have a table, and this guy called the flight engineer, which you will not see in the cockpit anymore because they automated all of this. would have a table, and he'd look at it and go, okay, here's the weight of the aircraft and the atmospheric conditions, and he'd tell the pilot, okay, you need to fly your approach here, and you know, you're going to stall, and you should be at this speed when you're just above the runway, so you're not going to go bouncing down the runway. And so they had these charts, right? So we have an old airplane that we're dealing with that still has these charts, and a flight engineer, and now we're going to put in a new system. So it's called a pedostatic system, and all that is the pedo system is a tube. So it measures the airspeed by how much air gets rammed through the tube. So anyhow, but that changes. You find an altitude, you know, as you go up, there's less air, right? So it measures it a little bit differently. So what they did is put in this brand new system, which was really cool. But they put in another component in the middle that people didn't quite understand that actually did some of those calculations. So now they look at the table and they go, ooh, this isn't wrong. This is wrong. So what could happen then if they left that is the pilots would be stalling before they knew it, either flying an airspeed and actually falling out of the sky or trying to land and going zooming down the runway through that. You know, that neither of which are good things. So when we did the test, you had to go back and look at the standards and look at what was going on and then make corrections to it. So we had to go back and re-understand what was going on. We had to go back and look at the standards, look at how the system was designed, what it was really doing, and then correct for that. And all that is part of, you know, is that a good analogy to what we do with what we do here at church? Too, we all come together to encourage one another, to get the truth, and then to go out and apply that to our lives. Otherwise, we end up in a disaster. If we don't know or if we don't acknowledge it, it doesn't make any difference, right? If we allow that aircraft to go out and fly and they use those old tables, there would eventually be consequences that would not be good. So we need to keep all of that in mind. And just one example from something that we went through. So the good thing is that these principles have been long established and our aviation engineering and they do a lot of this. Bill was here, Bill Tapia does one part of that testing too at Boeing, and Devin's does another thing with Boeing with the training guys and meetings, right, Devin? Something along that line. Okay. So there's some of us who are still involved in that. So what practical applications can we apply from all this? Well, just going over and review really quickly here. To verify, never accept hearsay or opinions. Biblical truth always aligns with Scripture. So if we align ourselves with Scripture, we're going to be there. We can verify what we're doing with a known standard, which is the next point here. In flight tests, we check performance against the standards. In biblical truth, we know the standards. Biblical truth is known by the standards of Scripture. We know the truth. To know the truth, we have to know the Scriptures. So, again, studying this and studying just beyond just the surface level helps us to keep those things in mind. Next point, know the context. Again, I talked about how systems, you know, you put all this stuff together, you got to understand how the whole system works. When they put that box in the middle of the pedostatic system, the rest of it was the same, but then this box was doing something they didn't understand. So you've got to understand all the components. And that means that when we talk about things, we need to talk about the context, the history, the background. What are the verses around it saying? What is, you know, what's the lesson here? What's the application? All these things are important for knowing how to keep out of trouble. And then finally, striving to understand. But again, the surface level stuff, even with new systems that are put out with all sorts of new technology, it's even more important that we understand how these systems interact. Because the aircraft used to be pretty simple. The pedostatic system was just a bunch of tubes, you know. And now they've got things that are in between those that you're doing calculations on, which should make it safer and easier to fly. But we also have to make sure that they operate correctly and they're not misleading to the pilots or the maintainers that take care of them. Okay, so finally, quick review here. Knowing the truth, truth originates with God, the maker of all things, and applies to all things. Truth is defined by God alone, not us, not our feelings, not our emotions. It's defined by Him alone. Truth is one of the primary characteristics of God. We look at John 14:6. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Truth is not based on feelings. It's found by diligence and seeking the truth and looking in the right places. And it keeps us from lies and destroying our own lives and going through consequences that God never intended for us to go through. So applications, make sure you are using the most reliable truth standard, the Bible and the Lord Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Know what the Bible says about truth and what it doesn't say. What it is and what it isn't. There's a lot of people who are using Scripture going the wrong direction because they don't know the context. They're taking it out of context, misunderstanding because they haven't fully looked at the Scripture for what it, the overall meaning, and then how it all fits together. Always test what you hear against the Bible, our philosophies, our way of living and thinking, and rightly divide the word, making sure we know the context, interpreting the word of God by the word of God, applying proper hermeneutics. So, well, I went too far. So some final thoughts here. Quotes from two teachers that I really like. I know Jeff really likes Oswald Chambers too. And some of the ways he has of saying things I think are really good. The top one there, beware of bartering the word of God for a more suitable conception of your own. In other words, don't trade the word of God for what you think, your opinions, your thoughts, because there's truth in there that we don't know everything. We're not God. We're not omniscient. We don't know how everything fits together, but we have one who wants us to know the truth about how all things work, and we have a source for it, the Scriptures. Second one, the main characteristic which is proof of the indwelling Spirit is an amazing tenderness in personal dealing and a blazing truthfulness with regards to God's Word. And I said prior, we'll run into people who we know who are going the wrong direction, right? It's not that we want to be tender towards them, but we have to be truthful, or we're not, you know, speaking the truth in love. We're not, it's not helping them to tell them lies, to try to make them feel better. Sometimes people need that. We need to know ourselves when we're drifting off and we need correction. Because in the end, it leads to disaster. So it doesn't mean we have to correct everyone, but there are times when we have to say something and God puts us in a position to speak the truth in love. And I believe that's what Oswald is saying here. That we have to be, when we have the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Spirit within us, we'll have a tenderness to people who are caught up in sin, but yet be absolutely right on with the truth, because otherwise we're going to hurt them. Okay? The last one from Pastor John Piper came from a podcast that I listened to not too long ago, talking about error. And a lot of the things that I'm seeing today, you get bits and pieces, and then the nice thing about the internet sometimes is you have, you know, you can go back and listen to what they actually said. What did this person, you know, somebody's saying this, you can go check out the facts. And there's a lot of things that are going on right now that are basically heresy. There are a lot of things within the broader context of the church, as we talk about in America here, that are absolutely huge errors that are going to lead people in the wrong direction. And we need to be right about that. So Pastor Piper put it this way, after talking about false teachers and error in the body, he said, the best protection against the darkness of error is the light of truth. Amen. I will leave you with that today. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for our congregation, for all the things that you're doing through this church and through families associated with it. Father, I pray that we'd be a light in the community, really speak the truth in love for all of those around us. Thank you for all that you've done, are doing. In Jesus' name, amen.